All Around Us by Reverend Clayton Spronk. Apple CEO admits homosexuality, blasphemes God. Writing for the Washington Post, Abby Phillip reports, breaking his years of silence, Apple CEO Tim Cook wrote in an article that he is proud to be gay. Cook acknowledged in the essay published on Thursday that while his sexual orientation has not been a secret to many people at Apple, and has long been discussed and debated by outsiders too, he has never before spoken publicly about the issue. While I have never denied my sexuality, he says, I haven't publicly acknowledged it either, until now. Cook wrote for Bloomberg Businessweek, so let me be clear. I'm proud to be gay, and I consider being gay among the greatest gifts God has given me. Because of his influential position, there is much excitement in the homosexual community about Cook's announcement. In their eyes, Cook has done a good work that has the potential to produce what they view as positive outcomes. They hope that other closeted homosexual businessmen will be encouraged to come out. They hope that young people who are struggling with their sexuality will be encouraged to embrace homosexuality and see that it is possible for homosexuals to achieve lofty goals in their lives. They hope that there will be an advancement in the homosexual agenda to gain equal rights before the law. They hope that anti-gay laws will be rescinded throughout the United States, including laws that allow employers to fire employees because they are gay, and laws that forbid the same-sex marriage. And they hope that because Apple is a multinational corporation, the CEO's homosexuality will help spread acceptance of homosexuality throughout the world. Cook's announcement is an indication that homosexuality is indeed becoming more accepted by society, at least in the United States. Many have known for years that Cook is gay, but he was never willing to announce it publicly. Why announce it now? Probably in part because he made the calculation that the climate in society is such that there would be very few, if any, repercussions. And the response to Cook's announcement seems to indicate that his calculation is correct. Another writer in the Washington Post had this to say about the reaction. We read, "Now that Cook has come out, some people and groups who oppose LGBT rights have spoken out about Cook. But the reaction to his announcement has mostly stayed true to the recent environment, in which high-profile coming-out statements are followed by a relative lack of controversy, perhaps a sign that LGBT orientations are no longer a viable wedge issue in the mainstream." So we take note of Cook's announcement as a sign that acceptance of homosexuality is spreading, and that the world is rapidly filling the cup of iniquity. But we also take note of Cook's announcement because it indicates the dogged determination of some in the homosexual movement to claim God's blessing on homosexuality. In addition to the approval of the mainstream world, Cook wants and claims the approval of God. He views homosexuality as a gift from God. By publicly acknowledging his homosexuality and encouraging the advancement of the homosexual agenda, Cook believes he is doing the Lord's work. The day before Cook's announcement, I taught Lord's Day 33 of the Heidelberg Catechism to a class of 8th and 9th graders. Lord's Day 33 defines good works in answer to question 91, as those done out of true faith, according to God's law, and for God's glory. I use the homosexual movement and its promotion of gay rights as an example of something many today call a good work, even though it is contrary to the law of God. The next day, Cook made his claim that homosexuality is a gift from God and that he is doing good by promoting the homosexual agenda. Cook thought he did a good work by announcing his homosexuality, and many agreed with him. But Lord's Day 33 says that good works are not founded on our imaginations nor the institution of men. According to the Word of God, homosexuality is a sin. Thus, in the judgment of God, Cook is guilty of grievous sin on account of his homosexuality, and he has compounded his sin by publicly celebrating his disobedience to the Word of God and refusing to repent. Still more, Cook added to his sin by claiming God gave him his homosexuality as a good gift. This is gross blasphemy. God created sex and gave it as a good gift to mankind to enjoy in the one flesh union of marriage between a male and a female. Homosexuality is not a gift from God. It is man's gross perversion of God's good gift. Cook is lying about the character of God when he makes God an approving participant in his perverted sexual orientation. It is important for the church to see Cook's sinfulness for what it is. There are some who would say that Cook and his work are evidence of a common grace love of God for all men. Cook is part of the company that has produced life-changing technology, iPhones and iPads. And since he has taken over as CEO, Cook has arguably led the company well. The stock price is up. According to the teaching of common grace, God gave Cook his abilities in love, and Cook is able to use his abilities to perform non-saving civil good works. But Cook's abilities do not mean that he is a recipient of God's common grace love. God is indeed the source of Cook's intelligence and business acumen. But it is entirely wrong to say that God has given him these abilities in love so that Cook can do some moral good, something pleasing to God. No, as a totally depraved man, Cook is clearly evil. In his announcement, Cook stated that he is proudly gay and that he will use the considerable opportunities and resources he has as Apple CEO to promote the homosexual agenda. This is not to say that Apple products are now evil. Christians may still use iPhones and iPads for good. But Cook is now on record that he will use the production and sale of the incredible technology Apple makes to promote his sinful lifestyle and his blasphemous view that God approves of his homosexuality. Cook is not an example of a man loved by God in common grace and thus able in some way to do good before God. His announcement proves that apart from Christ, natural man will only ever hate and rebel against God. The only hope for man is to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and regenerated by his Spirit. The murder of Brittany Maynard. Suicide is murder forbidden by the Sixth Commandment. The Heidelberg Catechism teaches that suicide is murder by explaining that in the Sixth Commandment God requires that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Question and Answer 105. On November 1, 2014, Brittany Maynard, a terminally ill cancer patient, transgressed this commandment by willfully ingesting poisonous pills that killed her. She murdered herself. USA Today reported this. Brittany Maynard, the 29-year-old face of the controversial Right to Death movement, has died. She captivated millions via social media with her public decision to end her life. Sean Crowley, spokesman for the nonprofit organization Compassion and Choices, confirmed Maynard's death Sunday evening. She died peacefully on Saturday, November 1, in her Portland home, surrounded by family and friends, according to a statement from Compassion and Choices. The statement said Maynard suffered increasingly frequent and longer seizures, severe head and neck pain, and stroke-like sick symptoms. She chose to take the Aid in Dying medication she received months ago. End of reading. Maynard's decision to kill herself has been met with widespread approval. One blogger wrote this, Across national media and social media, I have been sickened to see that suicide is now most commonly described with words like dignity, bravery, courage, and strength. Popular refrains, apparently only ever used to justify some form of murder and destruction, have been trotted out once again. It's her body. It's her choice. It's her life. If you read the comments under most articles about this case, you'll find a horrifying and blind adoration for euthanasia, with adjectives and phrases applied to Brittany that we usually reserve for war heroes and martyrs. End of reading. This approval of Maynard's suicide indicates that the legalization of euthanasia will likely spread to more states beyond Oregon. The surge of support for euthanasia in the aftermath of Maynard's death is horrifying. It is a demonstrable fact that when euthanasia is legalized, it usually moves from individuals having the option to choose to end their lives to doctors having the authority to order the death of their patients without consent. Another typical and disturbing trend is that allowing terminally ill patients to murder themselves leads to allowing other patients who are not terminal but simply weary of their aches and pains in life to murder themselves. Those who think that the practice of allowing doctors to murder certain patients can be contained so that euthanasia is only ever practiced on a small group of people are delusional. The biggest delusion of those who approve of Maynard's suicide is that they think somehow she took control over her sickness, over her life, and over her death. Barbara Coombs Lee claims that since January, cancer had controlled Maynard. When the end came close, she wanted to control cancer. And Lee writes that Maynard hoped to give the dying a chance for peace and dignity on their own terms. So it is believed that by committing suicide, Maynard took control of her life and in some sense defeated cancer and even death. This attitude is precisely why suicide is a sin. It is an attempt to overthrow God's authority as the giver and taker of life. This attempt to take control from God is also delusional. God is and remains king and judge. Maynard may have ended her life on November 1, and she may have put an end to the physical pain her cancer caused her. But then she had to answer to, and is answering to, the God who is the judge of the living and the dead. It is often difficult to endure the afflictions of this life patiently, but those who have faith must do so knowing that God is in control and that His will is always good. So we leave it to Him to take us from this life at the time He has appointed. And we put ourselves willingly into His hands, knowing that our victory over cancer and death is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, if it is God's will for us to die slowly and experience pain, He will give the grace to endure. And our comfort is that the afflictions of this life, even if they last for decades and are excruciating, are really light and work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17.